For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Power through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
All right, let's go. Brock and Salk show here on a Monday morning. Seattle Sports. SeattleSports.com, the whole Seattle Sports app, and yes, all the podcast platforms as well. Good to be with all you guys today on a Monday. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend, beautiful weather, all kinds of great Washington things to do all weekend long. I was, I found myself thinking about both of you guys, Justin, Maura, this weekend quite a bit. Justin, first of all, went up north and took another of your recommendations. Heather and I are now 100% off. If Justin tells us to go someplace, we'll go.
You like that place?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I mean, you gave us recommendations in San Diego. That worked out really incredibly well.
Good.
And you gave us a recommendation this weekend in Bo Edison, technically Edison.
Yep.
And we'll definitely go back up there. Had an awesome time at the Brewstillery.
The Terramar.
Yeah, combination of earth and
you
sea.
You should get an oyster shooter next time at the Longhorns.
Well, I couldn't get oyster shooters because I had already done about a dozen oysters at the Draymond Oyster Company.
Okay.
I think it's called up in Birch Bay. Combination of some raw oysters and some grilled up oysters. It was just a great day. So just love it up north. Love every opportunity to get up there and just kind of poke around to all the cool spots. So thank you. Appreciate that from you. And Maura, obviously you were on my mind this weekend as well. Really just yesterday as I did what I would call, you know, fairly accurately, like 15 years of exercise into one day. I basically got myself back in shape yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And so I appreciate, you know, your excitement about the race on Thursday. It's creeping up here, just a couple days away. But I would now say that after running a 5K in the morning with Cecily and then going to the track later that day and running a couple of 200s.
All set.
You're screwed. Like, I got myself back in shape.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how's your body feeling today?
You know what? Fine.
All right.
Well, I don't think you were going fast enough.
Okay. Well, or maybe my body was just well stretched. I told you, I've been stretching for the last week, working on the hamstrings.
That's not how it works. You don't just get off the couch. Okay.
Couch to 5K.
I'm interested to see what happens here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all are. I think we're all very interested to see what happens.
I forgot. Will you remind people of the stakes again?
The stakes have not been like fully agreed to. I know that if I win, Maura will be donating her chosen sum of money to Baseball Beyond Borders.
And Brock will be.
Brock is donating.
Oh, Brock's donating on your behalf?
Brock was the one that said he was going to donate money.
Oh. I am happy to donate money.
As much as you guys said,
your chosen amount, it could be $5. It's entirely up to you. I recognize that. So the amount is entirely up to you or Brock or whomever. If I lose, which is never going to happen, then I will be happy to donate my chosen sum of money, which is like $2.50, obviously. No, my chosen sum of money to whatever charity you choose, and I'm waiting on that from you. So I will be ready with a donation to be made. So those are the you know, monetary charitable stakes. But let's be clear, this is not about money.
Well, we had already discussed the other stakes. Brock was the one that chimed in and said, "Let's make a charitable." So yeah, no, you had said you would do ranked for a week with no honorable mentions.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine.
No honorable mentions.
That's also on my list if I lose. Okay, and what do I get if I win? You never talk trash about ranked again, off the air.
No,
you say whatever you want
while
we're on the air.
You guys don't really want that. You say it's boring.
You can say whatever you want on the air. off the air when Justin and I are working hard at Ranked.
I might have to quit this show.
That's worse than anything? Is the 20 minutes off the air?
That's just too low. All right. Well, you can keep thinking. And yeah, we're getting ready. So it sounds like it's going to be at the UW on Thursday after the show. We're going to give this thing a go. We're going to run around that track. 200 meters. Should be pretty fun. Okay. Salk, are you going to broadcast the race? I don't know whether there are any networks lining up necessarily to get those rights. We could try a rights fee.
I think Justin's going to try to film a little bit of it. Yeah, social media. Oh, that's good. About as far as we're going to.
Yeah, I would say like a year away from Root saying yes, though. Like, guys, we don't have any other content, and we're basically going off the air. What do you say? You guys want to run a race for us again?
I think the interest would be like, guys, this is the slowest race we've ever seen. You have to see it.
Yep. But I time it. Did you time yourself when you ran a 200?
No, it was just me. I don't really know how to, like.
I just ran. I held my phone and just did a little click when I started, a little click when I ended on the old stopwatch. And, I know my time. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I know what the time to beat is as of right now, kind of what I'm capable of. I have a baseline time, but that doesn't involve any, you know.
30 or under like you were?
Huh? Did I say 30?
You said, would we do it around 30 last week?
Well, you'll have to.
We know what the world record is.
Right. What was the world record?
20?
19. Wow. Yeah, it was not 19. Let's just say it was not that close to 19. All right. Mariners win the series this weekend and, you know, get back to 500. They get back into first place. Literally, they're tied for first place today. It's fun reading the text messages that come in over the weekend. Mariners will never win a championship. Two wins today and the Mariners will get to it. Wait, 54% winning percentage. Very witty, 254. Somebody else saying, good old Munoz, give it up again. Now we're going to lose the series to the sorriest team in baseball. And then finally, the Mariners blowing this game so bad, I can't even watch the second game. So as you can tell, there is a tremendous amount of perspective and patience and everything else you would imagine while watching the games as people swing wildly to and fro with their emotional regulation, which is not particularly great. It's like dealing with a toddler. All of that said, it is still early. Just like the 10 losses don't make the Mariner season, neither do the 10 wins. They're just still kind of feeling their way into this season. Do they look incredible? At times, yeah. You start to see what it is about this team that a lot of people like. And obviously that starts with the pitching. You realize what this 10-game stretch is for the pitchers? It is insane. It's 9 quality starts out of 10. The one non-quality start was George Kirby on Sunday, yesterday, going 5 innings and allowing 0 runs. And before I get the football fan who's mad at me for calling that not a quality start, I'll remind you that a quality start is has a definition, which is 6 innings or more, 3 runs or fewer. So before you get mad and say, that's a quality start, it's not a quality start. That has a definition. But it's an excellent start, which has my own definition of just being very good. Mm-hmm. 10 fantastic starts in a row. 10 starts in a row where their starter did not allow more than 3 runs. Think about that. That's phenomenal. That's giving even a lousy offense, whether this is or not, remains to be seen. But if you're going to give up 3 runs or fewer every time your starting pitcher takes the mound, you're going to win a lot of ball games. They went 7-3 in that stretch. Honestly, probably should have gone 9-1. Certainly could have. Just like we said at the beginning of the year, right? Remember they were, 4-6? And we're like, geez, they could be 2-8. Well, they went 7-3 in this stretch. Probably could have gone 9-1, maybe 8-2.
Yep.
Right? Without much of a, like, that doesn't take a lot of, you know, moving pieces around, et cetera, to try to get to that number. So I would say they've played some really good baseball, but probably haven't been as rewarded with the wins. Just as at the beginning of the year, they played some really, truly awful baseball and didn't get tagged with every one of those losses. So it remains early. And 20 games into the season, you're 10-10. Your division has kind of muddled its way through the first 20 or so games, other than the Astros, who have decided to just completely lay down. I don't know if that's going to be for sure, but they lost another pitcher over the weekend as well. Do I think they probably have another, you know, run in them? Yeah, they probably do. But they're digging themselves a really, really big hole. And if it does turn out that the Astros just aren't good this year, that totally changes the stakes in terms of what a playoff team looks like, right? I mean, it's a few games against a team that is probably not what you thought it was going to be heading into the year. But second of all, it lowers the bar for what it might take to get into the playoffs. And we'll see. The AL Central seems to be a little bit better than people predicted. I think, you know, Cleveland's a decent team. Detroit's a decent team. Kansas City certainly played like a good team early this season. So maybe that will kind of balance everything out that's going on in your own division. But this is kind of fun. This is the way a baseball season goes, with a little bit of up, a little bit of down. And this weekend, we got to see that thing that is so special for this team, and that is the starting pitching. So got a lot more to say about this team, got a lot more to say about the draft, which is just a few days away. And at some point, probably at 8 o'clock today, I'll get to tee off on one of my very favorite subjects in the whole wide world. That's coming up. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see Mopop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Mariners just kept on rolling as they cruised into Denver, took the day off on Friday for a little snow to clear, and then got it going Saturday and Sunday, winning 2 out of 3. And they did it the Mariner way, with a tremendous starting pitching performance in each of the 3 games. It started with Luis Castillo.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Luis with the Castillo flex and the knee bend. He has been magnificent tonight. 9 strikeouts, goes 1-2-3 in the 7th. A dominant performance by Luis Castillo. It's 7-0 Mariners.
Yeah, he went 7, allowed just 2 hits and 1 walk, struck out 9, didn't give up a run. That was pretty good, and they had a little 9-run outburst on Saturday as well. That finally got him his first win of the season. Kirby went 5 shutout innings yesterday. That ended the quality start streak, which is amazing, at 8. Hancock got it started again a few hours later. In fact, a couple of 10th-inning bloops and grounders, enough to blow the save yesterday in Game 1. But then they win again last night. J.P. Crawford doing damage.
The right-hander's 3-1 pitch to Crawford. Swing and a high fly ball deep into right center field. Cave going back to the one. He dragged to the wall, and this one is off the top of the fence. Here comes Raley to score. Urias running third, coming in. Here comes Zavala running third, being waved in. He will score. Crawford scampers to third. He goes in, standing up with a bases clearing 3-run triple out in right center field, and it's now the Mariners 5 and the Rockies 2. Listen to the Mariner fans here at Coors Field tonight.
Yeah, that's what you needed. Mariner fans getting after it a little bit on the road, which is always fun to see. Two cities probably have a lot in common, to be honest with you. So they win 2 out of 3. pitching obviously was the biggest part of it, but the offense shouldn't be slept on this weekend. I mean, I know the Rockies don't pitch particularly well either, but they did score 20 runs in the series. That's going to get it done more times than not. They've won 7 of their last 10. They are half a game out of first place. Sorry about that. I messed that up earlier. But Scott Servais impressed with what they're doing.
That's who we are. We have outstanding pitching. We have played really good defense. Even the play, the double play that J.P. Crawford turned there in the ninth inning, like, that is a special play. You can't take those plays for granted. But all over the field, Julio's been great in center field. Rojas been really good at first. I mean, you know, Ty makes a great pick on a ball earlier today. Our defense has really helped our pitching along. Our pitching's good, but when your defense plays that well, now you can hold teams to one or two runs, and then you don't have to have a whole lot of offense to win ballgame.
All right, so there you go. Day off today, and then they will get back to it tomorrow in Texas. First showdown with the first place reigning World Series champion Texas Rangers. That should be pretty darn fun.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, draft week is finally here. We can focus on the Seahawks and we can focus on Michael Penix. Heck, maybe we'll end up focusing on the two of them together at some point later this week. We'll see. Just saw Jordan Reed's mock draft. He had the Seahawks trading down to pick number 20, picking up a third rounder in the process with Pittsburgh, and then still drafting Troy Faltano after both Jared Verse and Byron Murphy go in between. As for Penix, well, you know, look, the medical history is still going to be the biggest challenge for him. He was on with Colin Cowherd on Friday and said, yeah, when teams ask him about the medical stuff, this is what he says.
For me, I feel like it was just bad luck, you know, and obviously off of all my injuries, you know, I was coming off of, you know, injury each and every year. So it was tough. I didn't get off seasons, you know, since I first got to college until I got to Washington, you know. So I feel like, you know, having those two off seasons at Washington, you know, being able to get strong in the weight room, you know, on the field and stuff like that, it definitely helps, you know. But at the same time, you know, I really don't focus on that, you know. I just hope a team know what they're going to get out of me, and that's a winner and somebody that's going to elevate everybody around me. So at the end of the day, I got all my medical records came in, everything came clear. You know, saw different doctors, you know, that gave me the check marks that I'm clear to go. So at this point, it's not in my hand.
All right. Well, could Penix end up here in Seattle? This is what Adam Schefter was hearing this week. He said, with regards to Penix, though, it should be pointed out, the Seahawks are high on quarterback Sam Howell, whom they traded for last month. Feels he offers some unique advantages. The 23-year-old Howell has started 18 games, is the same age as Penix and Daniels, and is 1 year younger than Bo Nix. McDonald and the Seahawks feel they have invested in their future at the position with a player who already has game experience. Do they mean it? Maybe. Is all of this a smokescreen to try to convince teams they're not interested in the quarterback? Maybe. They sure keep the whole thing open to whatever you believe they're going to do, they might do it. Or they might do 180 degree the opposite. We're going to start to find out on Thursday.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
This is good news. Nice to see Brian Wu getting after it this weekend. Went three very strong innings, only needed 35 pitches in his first rehab start. So he's never really tested all that much. But from what I've heard, everything went well. Was he, you know, phenomenal? No, he was fine. He did what he was supposed to do and wasn't particularly well tested. So kind of waiting to see how he does in like some tougher situations. Assuming he bounces back without any issues, going to try to go 60 pitches in his next outing. And then they'll kind of see probably one more rehab start after that. If that's the case, that only puts him a little over 2 weeks away, maybe 15, 16 days away before you get Brian Wu back in the major leagues. Going to be interesting to see where Emerson Hancock is at that point. Certainly hasn't done anything to deserve like losing the spot. He was really good again yesterday, but they will not go with a six-man rotation. That is not a consideration for this team at all. By the way, Matt Brash probably on a somewhat similar timeline, which would make, you know, early second week in May, something like that, pretty fun with both Brash and Wu ready to return around then. That is everything you need to know. A quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show.
Any word on your guy, Urias? How is he going to be looking? I heard
Santos?
No. Urias? Hitting his hand?
Oh, yes. I have. You know what?
You were going to send us a text about how you hate wrists.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Scott's postgame comments didn't make it sound like it was going to be all that bad.
No, they never make it sound like bruise. It's going to be all that bad.
Should be okay.
They always kind of make it sound that way. Yeah. Like, it's a bruise. We'll see. Oh, he broke his finger. He's going to be out a month. He's going to stink for a month after
setback.
That. A little setback. You know, he got back after a little bit too early.
Yeah, wrist is barking at him.
Yeah, just kind of barking. So, yeah. I don't like wrists. I don't like hands. I don't like fingers. I don't like any part of that. All right. Let's see. Busy weekend. You had Mariners, and it's playoff season as well. Mora is going to get us through all of it in record time, I'm sure. That's next on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
Massive, the power of pop culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Brock and Salk's Rewind is presented by Toyota of Kirkland.
Yeah, we're going to have to rewind this weekend because there's a lot going on that you may have missed if you were, like me, out and about quite a bit. Saturday was beautiful. Friday night. You know what I did Friday night? Did you know, have you ever done the laser light show at the Pacific Science Center?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'd never done it before. Heather had gone with Cecily a few years ago and did like a Disney one. And then with the Taylor Swift album, and then the second Taylor Swift album, all coming out on Thursday night. I know.
How to handle it.
I know. All 31 songs or whatever it is. By the way, kind of, and this is not a Taylor Swift thing. This is true of Smashing Pumpkins with their double album, Guns N' Roses with their double album. Probably don't need to put out two albums.
Just need it.
You just don't really need it. Like unless you really are sure you've got more than 16 great songs, you probably just cut it down.
Yeah, but she has such obsessive fans.
I know.
It doesn't matter what she
puts out.
They're
like, oh my God, they'll eat it up. Yeah.
Yeah. There's 31 songs. There's like 18, maybe 20.
Okay.
Like, there's still like 5 or 10 where you're like, yeah, you probably could have done without those. Just like Guns N' Roses could have with Use Your Illusion, just like Smashing Pumpkins could have with Melancholy, but whatever. So we went on Friday night. They did a one night only laser light show for the new album. It was great. It was so much fun. You get down there a little bit early and then you can get seats on the floor. You don't want to sit in the seats because then you're looking up the whole time, but you can lay down. They let people lay down on the floor. So you bring something to lay down on for your head. And we were like, I don't know, we got there 45 minutes early. So we were right there and we're like looking up at this huge dome screen, awesome speaker system. And the woman came on at the beginning. She was like, yeah, I designed this today. Like everything fits the music that I heard last night. It was a little bit of a tough project, but here you go. I'm ready to go. And it was awesome. What a cool experience. And everyone there was just like, just so freaking excited, right? I mean, they're yelling for Taylor in between, like they're at a concert. It was a blast, man.
I got to do the laser light show with the band, Alice in Chains, when they released Black Gives Way to Blue album. They were there.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Like, this is the first time we've ever played it. They made us all put our phones in a box when we walked in.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. What a great story.
Fantastic.
Oh, that is very cool. I know they do it for Pink Floyd. Uh-huh. And, you know, they've been doing that since forever. But they do some other bands, too. I saw they're doing Tame Impala. They're doing...
so there's a Mac Miller one that's been going around.
Yeah, so it's cool. They've mm-hmm. sort of created some new stuff and just sort of a fun thing to do on a Friday night. It only takes like an hour, which is good. Like after more than that, you'd be like, all right, I think I'm about done. But you get enough so that it feels really worth it. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. So if you guys ever are looking for something to do with a friend or a date or whatever on a Friday night, there's a little option. Go to Pacific Science Center because it's okay to come into Seattle. You won't die, I think. All right, Maura, what else happened this weekend?
All right, we're going to start off with Friday. Oh, wait, nothing happened Friday.
Yeah. I think Seattle was just fine. They had a 70-degree night where it's like, hey, there's nothing to watch.
Yeah, we're fine.
Go out and do something.
Let's go and do some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of snow going on in Colorado, so the game was postponed due to weather. Saturday, the series got underway, but it was still only 33 degrees.
And the images from Saturday were crazy.
Yeah.
What terrible weather.
Luis Castillo didn't seem to mind, though, going 7 scoreless innings, giving up just 2 hits and 1 walk and striking out 9. Tyson Miller and Brett Zegeis each added a scoreless inning for a shutout of the Rockies, and that was the Mariners' just their 2nd shutout this season. Cal Raleigh hit a solo shot on the first pitch that he saw in the 2nd inning.
Here's a swing by Cal Raleigh. Fly ball deep left field. Jones to the 1. He tracked to the wall. Goodbye, baseball! Cal Raleigh batting left-handed, an opposite field home run, a straightaway left. And the Mariners get on the board here in the top of the 2nd, a 1-0 lead on Cal's 4th home run of the season.
In the 3rd, a single and a stolen base by Julio allowed Cal to drive in yet another run when he hit a single to right. And then when we head to the top of the 4th, at this point, the Rockies have only had 1 base runner via a walk. The Mariners got 5 on base this inning, but were only able to drive in 1 run when Julio's single to center drove in Rojas to make it 3-0. They really broke it open in the 6th when walks from Raleigh, Rojas, and singles from France, Garver, Classe, and Julio made it 7-0. I mean, that's what we've been...
kind of waiting for all the singles to combine. Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of what we thought their approach was going to be this season.
Right? I still think that's an approach that's not going to work as often as you would like it to. There's a reason it's been a while since you've seen 7 straight. Just doesn't happen that much in the modern game. Let me start here. It's a good game on Saturday. I will say this. There's a million things athletes do that I can't do, right? All of us. We all feel that way. Like, oh, my gosh. Their level of talent, skill, the amount of time they've put into it, strength, flexibility, right? There's any number of things that athletes are capable of that we're not. The thing that some of them can do that impresses me maybe more than anything else is play in the freezing cold. I don't know how they do it.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know how you get your fingers to work well enough to manipulate a baseball like Luis Castillo did on Saturday in 33 degree sleet. If I'm outside for like a minute and a half in 33 degree sleet, I'm a useless mess. And I know I'm not that far off from a useless mess to begin with, but the deterioration once I get into 33 degrees and sleeting is incredibly rapid and precipitous. For Luis Castillo, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be better. I'm going to whiff more people than I normally do. And I don't know how anybody hits in that. It kills your fingers and your hands. Anything that you don't hit directly in the sweets.
Catcher,
the
same
whole thing. You guys are crazy. Well, playing in that kind of weather is insane.
You're running around. Your body's getting warm.
Like, right.
You're standing there so much in baseball.
You're just standing there waiting and getting colder and getting like wet. Ugh. No, thank you. I honestly believe that's one of the most impressive things any professional athlete can do.
I'm with you on that. Raleigh ended the day 4-for-4, and Julio went 4-for-5. They each had a pair of RBI. Jonathan Class A came very close to hitting an inside-the-park home run, but was thrown out at home. He went 2-for-5 with 2 RBI. For those that care, we know Salk doesn't. The Mariners also only struck out 3 times.
I didn't get to I didn't see the Class A triple that he got thrown out at home. I was listening to it at the time as we were driving back down from being up north. How fast was he?
He was pretty fast. I can't remember who was ahead of him on the bases. Didn't someone kind of hold up ahead of him?
I definitely didn't get to watch it. I was at a dinner party.
I think that slowed him up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty fast.
I meant to go back and
on the bases ahead of him, from what I remember.
I'd like to go back, actually. I'll see if this morning I take a moment and just watch the video of it, because I mean, Rick did a great job with the call and describing it, and he and Dave were just like wowed at how incredibly fast he was, not surprisingly, getting around the base. I mean, like, that's like what you're hoping for, right? Is that guy forces someone to dive for a ball in the corner and he can just take off running after they miss, because it's a beauty to watch, man. He really gets his feet moving quickly, and he was doing it yesterday.
Cal spoke after Saturday. The game about how this was their original game plan, and they're sticking to it.
No, I think it's just doubling down on the game plan, you know. I think, you know, we could stray two different ways. We could abandon ship, or we can really double down and try to do, you know, what we need to do to win games and change the culture. And I think we did a great job today of committing to our plan again and being stubborn to what we're trying to do at the plate. And it's a team thing. It's not an individual thing.
So that's kind of interesting, right? That's a little callback to some of what we heard in the first 10-12 games of the season, right? When we talked to Aaron Goldsmith, and he said, well, you know, there's maybe three guys who are doing the program and doing the philosophy and adhering to it, buying into it, and actually trying to execute it. Yeah, I don't know about everybody else. And then we heard Scott make a comment about that a couple days later. So to hear Cal say, no, we didn't change anything, we're just actually doing what we said we were going to do, probably a pretty good sign, right?
Yeah,
that there is something to what Brent Brown is teaching. Just going to take them some time to actually get it all figured out and working.
And it probably doesn't hurt to be playing a team that's not very good.
No, it doesn't hurt at all. Never does.
Maybe see how it can work at its best.
Never
maybe
hurts.
Maybe that'll give you some confidence.
To face a team
forward.
That can't pitch and can't really hit. Yeah, that helps.
All right. In game one yesterday, Kirby didn't have his best stuff, but still pitched 5 scoreless innings, striking out 7. Rockies pitcher Cal Quantrill pitched 6 scoreless innings of his own. In fact, we would not see any runs scored for either team until extra innings. But extra innings almost didn't happen when Stallings from the Rockies hit what probably would have been a home run, but was overturned because a fan decided to get involved.
The pitch from Stanek, swing and a fly ball deep to left field. Going back, Dylan Moore to the warning track, to the wall, leaps up, and this one is going to be off the top of the fence. Gets the throw into second. And in at second is Stallings with a 2-out double. And that ball was inches away from being a walk-off home run for Jacob Stallings. It hit off the top of the wall in left field. And now the umpires want to get together to take a look at it. Fan interference. Stallings is out. There's no double. There's no home run. And we're going to go to the top of the 10th inning. What a ball game this afternoon here in game one of the day-night doubleheader.
Yeah, you can hear Rick laughing and Dave as well, because they know they sort of stole one there.
Yeah.
It was the right call, by the way. I'm Scott, absolutely 100% right. That is the right call. And when I saw it live, I was watching yesterday, as I saw it live, I thought Dylan Moore almost made a spectacular play to catch it, but that it bounced out of his glove and bounced back into the field
that's
to play.
What I thought so, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, that's pretty good. Like, you're going to get a nice play, and now it's going to be up to Stanek to get himself out of a man on second, 2 outs. Okay, fine. Then I saw the replay, and my instant reaction was, he's out. That's fan interference. He 100% touched Dylan Moore as he was jumping and had reached over the line.
Into the line of play.
There's
yeah.
no doubt. That is a good call. It feels like you stole something because you didn't necessarily deserve it, right? It's not like Dylan Moore made the play and then got, like, you don't know if he was going
so close,
to make the play. Maybe he would have, maybe not. But the fan did what you cannot do. He tried to Jeffrey Mayer that thing. And if they had had replay back in the Yankee days, then that little truant Jeffrey Mayer would have been the call would have been made, and maybe the whole stupid Yankee dynasty is never formed. But instead they got that call wrong. Was that 1996-97? And the rest of the world obviously went in a terrible direction for the next
Where
5 or 6
you guys
years
stand
after
on
that.
Adults with gloves at the game.
Yeah, I think it's pretty lame.
Okay.
Now there is one exception to that. If you're with your kid and you've both brought your gloves to the game, I think that's nice. Or even if you feel like I need a glove to protect my very young kid, I guess I'm like, I'm not going to like make fun.
Well, you're an adult out there diving, trying to get a ball for
you're
yourself.
An idiot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm over. And honestly, your team deserves whatever happened to them. I do think that's karma. A little bit of a tough one. Like, what if it's a Mariner fan who does it and, like, you know, is in the away ballpark and now you're, like, essentially helping your team win a game? But I think it happens so infrequently that you just throw up your hands and go, well, if that were to happen, so what? I thought this was going to be a case of ball don't lie when they scored in the next inning. And then, obviously got away from Andres in the bottom of the 10th.
That's a frustrating game to begin with. Like Kirby was shoving, but he kind of, like, I was confused because he seemed like he was getting hit hard a little bit and then wouldn't.
Yeah.
But there was nobody in that lineup that should hit him hard. So I'm like, well, of course he should be shoving.
I think his velocity was down.
Yeah, I guess I would put this in the same category. I was getting all the texts from Brock as he was, you know, getting more and more precipitously upset about, you know, the runners left in scoring position. You know, Brock does and starts off with a little, it's over. I'm getting mad. And he just, like, gets more and more mad over the course of a game. And I'm like, which team are you talking about? Rockies are doing the same damn thing. Right. Every time the Rockies started to threaten, they ground into a hard double play or whatever it was. So, look, the game is played by two teams. I know the Rockies aren't very good. They are a Major League Baseball team. They're going to win 60, 70 games this year. That's what teams do. So, like, I don't know. I was not necessarily like beaten up over it. Like, it's annoying. They could have swept the series. And certainly when you score, 20 runs compared to the other team's four over the course of a series, you're going to win more than you lose. But yeah, and you'll probably sweep a bunch of those. Unfortunately, some of the hitting just didn't happen during that one game. You were unable to get the one big hit you needed, and you end up losing the middle game of the series.
Well, this is obviously a pretty weird occurrence because Sarah Langs noted that Coors Field opened in 1995, and that was only the third game there to be scoreless through nine innings.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so what? The Mariners set a record for the longest shutout streak to start a series at Coors Field.
Oh, okay. I was going to say there was the JP record, the longest ball hit that wasn't a home run. That was a triple.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's
a weird stadium.
Let's get to Sunday night.
Okay. Well, I was going to also, I had some more notes. But yeah, we should at least give Dylan Moore a shout out. He drew two walks and made some pretty impressive defensive plays at second base on top of the, like you said, coming pretty close with that.
Well, and if he doesn't come that close,
almost home run,
then there's nobody to interfere with him.
Yes. Yeah.
So give Dylan Moore a lot of credit. He was basically the reason they were still in that game, just as much as it was George Kirby or anybody else. His defense in that game was a big part of the reason there was a game at all. Baseball's funny, though, right? You're having a great game at second. They move you to left, and immediately you
ball
get that.
It.
I mean, just amazing how that works.
All right, game two. Emerson Hancock once again gave the M's a nice outing, going six innings, giving up one run, four hits, one walk, and striking out four. The M's offense had a fantastic second inning, beginning with a France double, Polanco single, and a Dylan Moore sac fly. Then Arias and Raley were hit by pitches back-to-back to load the bases, with Sebby Zavala up to bat, and I think we all collectively
figured the inning was over?
Yeah, pretty much. But maybe he heard our buy or sell segment last week.
Maybe.
He was on a mission last night. He hit a single to drive in Polanco, and then J.P. Crawford hit a ball that would have been a home run, apparently, in every other ballpark. I saw Divish post the numbers on that, of, 426 feet. But it still ended up being a bases-clearing triple to give the Mariners a 6-2 lead. In the sixth, Zavala
had a
double,
I've had a theory for a long time. I don't know if I've ever said this to you guys on the air, but this has been a long-held theory of mine that they need to move the fences in at Coors Field. There's just not enough offense.
Yes,
there.
Please.
Like, it obviously suppresses offense.
Yeah, balls just don't
and
carry.
And yeah, I've always said maybe it's time to move the fences in at Coors Field. You know what is funny about that? Like, Coors Field, as much as it's got the reputation as the crazy offensive ballpark, it's not really entirely because of the home runs. You can hit home runs at Coors Field, but it's not like Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, some of these real short porches where you can really crush home runs. The two things about that are, one, in Colorado, it's hard to throw with a lot of spin because the ball doesn't drop nearly as fast on the curveballs, sliders, etc. And two, there's a lot of room for doubles in that park. It's a great doubles park. Seriously.
That's
doubles
point, yeah.
And even triples. So, anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's where we left off. In the sixth, Zavala had a double. Julio
drove
him in with a single, and then Cal did this.
pitch to Cal. Pitch swung on, driven straight away center field and deep. Giving ground, Cave. Look it up. Bye-bye! Big Cal with a two-run homer, and the Mariners have a 9-2 lead here in Colorado. Cal with home run number 5, RBIs 9 and 10. He drove that baby about 430.
Woo! Big weekend for him. He later had a sac fly to score J.P. Crawford in the 8th to make it 10-2 Seattle. Julio and Cal both went 2-for-4, and JP only went 1-for-5, but they had 7 RBIs combined last night, and Sebi Zavala was 3-for-4.
And nearly hit a home run in the 4th.
Yeah, that was close.
The era of Sebi Zavala is just about to start. Just getting underway.
You guys wouldn't even take the in buy or sell. Is he going to get a hit before the Sunday uniforms get here? And you wouldn't even take that.
I wasn't sure he was going to get a hit before he got cut.
That's what you said.
Give him credit.
All right, would you guys like to go to the NBA or NHL playoffs? Or you want an update on the Commanders group date?
Oh, what was that about? Because I saw your text about this. They had all the quarterbacks come in, and
yeah, so we
somebody's
about,
not happy.
We talked about the Commanders doing something different and bringing in a group of the top quarterback candidates all at once, taking them to Topgolf. And, you and Brock thought maybe that's a good idea. You could see how they all interact.
Kind of seemed like fun.
Apparently,
yeah.
Jaden Daniels' agent wasn't a fan.
The agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number 2 overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
Interesting. Frustration.
It's
kind of weird. I mean, I think it's a strange idea. It obviously isn't necessarily going to, like, affect anybody whether or not Jaden Daniels is unhappy with that process, but not, like, a great way to get off with the guy you're probably going to pick at number 2.
By bringing everybody in.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, it's a great way to help a team decide who they want. It might not be the best way to start off a relationship with the player you're ultimately going to take. By the way, I saw another similar related thing. Did you see, it was in Schefter's article today, what the Bears did with Caleb Williams? They brought him in for a visit, and rather than having him go out to dinner with the scouts, coaches, ownership, etc., they sent him out to dinner with their team leaders. They sent him out to dinner with a bunch of the players,
like that.
And then kind of asked the other players, the leaders on their team, like, hey, what'd you think? Right? What did you make of him? Do you think that's a guy that we should be? So I think kind of an interesting way of getting another perspective, and certainly Chicago needs all the perspectives they can get as it comes to drafting a potential franchise quarterback, and two, just involving your leadership in what's going on. So now if they come back and they're like, we don't think so.
I don't know what you do.
Is he one of you? Do you listen to them, or do you just say like,
if you don't listen to them, then why did you do it?
Right, exactly. So yeah, I mean, maybe there's some danger in doing that, but kind of a cool idea for the Chicago Bears who need to be open to whatever interesting ideas.
Or maybe
are
they
out
framed
there.
It that way, but they're really like, hey, we're clearly taking this person, so the sooner you get to know them, the better.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, well, we only got a few minutes left, but I guess I'll go here. I think the Kraken introduced a lot of people here that are new NHL fans to the playoffs last year, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, what have I been missing? These are awesome. So since we don't have the Kraken root for this year, I would suggest maybe checking out the Jets-Avs series. So far, we still have some game ones to go, but so far all of the higher seeds have won. But the Jets beat the Avs in an action-packed game one yesterday. Kyle Connor and Adam Lowry each scoring 2 goals, but coming up short of the hat trick. Meanwhile, the Avs had 6 different goal scorers. It was tied 3-3 after the first. This was Buchnevich on that 3rd goal.
Just over 4 minutes left. John Buchnevich, Cassidy Campbell, best goal! We're tied again! Mark Scheifele, the 6th goal of the first period.
Did Bucci just put himself right into the middle of the play?
I think he was just trying to introduce the broadcast team.
He was trying to say he had the puck and maybe got
scoring goals left and right to the point he didn't see it coming.
Did he have an assist on the play? Buchnevich fiddles and diddles through the middle of the zone, and I mean, geez.
You're right. Playoff hockey is so much more fun, though.
I mean, the Jets had 1 goal in the second, and then both teams scored 3 goals each again in the third.
It's pretty crazy.
It ended 7-6 Jets.
Yeah, well, so that is a fun series to watch. The Jets are kind of a fun team, and you can certainly just root against Colorado, which has been pretty fun to do here for the last few years.
I think people grew a little healthy.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Distaste hate for them last year.
And then that Nishushkin is back, right? The guy who was caught with whatever the heck was going on in the hotel room here last year.
He is?
Yeah. He scored a goal last night. Which surprised me. I didn't even realize he was back, but apparently he's not just back.
Nothing came of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you know, that got buried a little bit. That story was so, like, sketchy. Anyway.
Yeah. There's too many things in that story for me to even try to talk about it, because there was a lot going on. I don't know what was actually reported as fact and what was just speculated.
Yeah, probably fair. Just let it go.
Let's move on.
Okay.
And then you also had Rangers defeated the Capitals 4-1. Bruins beat the Maple Leafs 5-1. Panthers took game one from the Lightning 3-2. Islanders lost to the Hurricanes 3-1. And the Canucks defeated the Predators last night.
All right, and then something happened in the NBA. We'll figure it all out at some point. All right, good stuff, Maura. Thank you for a wonderful trip around the weekend. If you guys missed what happened, every Monday, Maura's got you covered at 6:30 as she takes us through the whole weekend in sports. All right, let's see what we're going to do today. We got a bunch of guests today. It's going to be kind of a funky Monday. We don't always do this, but 7:30, Joel Klatt is going to be with us. And then at 8:30, Jeff Passan had a little conflict for tomorrow, so he is going to join us a day early at 8:30. So Klatt at 7:30 and Passan at 8:30. And something I saw that I've been laughing about now for more than 24 hours. I can't wait to talk about this at 8 o'clock. We got a lot to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk Sales Sports on 710salesports.com.